So glad to have you along with us today on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller, and joined for the first segment of our show with by Dr. Lowell Lakritz. He teaches in the dental hygienist program at Madison Area Technical College. And while he's officially retired from practice, he still provides care through clinics that offer services for low-income and other high-needs patients, both here and in Florida. And Dr. Lakritz, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Judith.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit before we dig into our questions from callers, but I wanted to ask you a little bit about how our dental health can have a big impact on our overall health. What are some of the ways that those kind of cross?
Well, there's been a lot of research over the last few years with regard to oral health and general health. And there is even such links between oral health and conditions like diabetes, kidney disease, preterm labor, osteoporosis, Alzheimer's, and even certain types of cancer. Not all these studies are definitive, but there's an indication that there definitely is a link between oral health and general health, probably mostly with regard to the health of people's gum tissues. Periodontal disease or gum disease tends to infiltrate the gum tissue and therefore get bacteria and toxins into the body through those areas, particularly moderate to severe periodontal disease. And this can have a decided effect on general health in general. And even obesity can be an indicator of a prevalence to periodontal disease. So there's a lot of links and there's a lot of research going on. Some, as I said, some being very definitive, some which are questionable. But nonetheless, the work is going on and it should, over the years, over the next few years, we should have some definite connections.
And what are the causes of periodontal disease? What are the things that
mostly
we should be aware of?
Neglect? But there can be a genetic influence also. I found in my practice over almost 40 years that families tended to have periodontal disease within them. And we didn't know whether this was genetic or whether the bacteria responsible for these problems was passed from person to person in the family through use of the same glass or kissing or,
right.
You know, contact.
Just living in close
quarters.
Living
together, right. So, but there seems to be a genetic link, and this too is under research to find out. But unfortunately, genetically, there isn't an awful lot you can do.
I was just going to say, was it you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family.
Right, exactly. But I must say that periodontal disease can be cured and can be prevented. It requires meticulous home care, dental care, adequate toothbrushing, minimum twice a day. I recommend an electric toothbrush because that does the job that your hand sometimes can't do as well. An electric brush means you can just move it around the mouth and the brush does the work. Using dental floss to clear the areas between the teeth that the brush can't reach. These things will all help to prevent periodontal disease, and people can maintain a very healthy mouth as a result of that.
And so those are things that we can do at home, but
absolutely.
But obviously seeing a dental professional is part of that,
right,
too.
Even the most meticulous of home care can miss a spot or two, and you can get a buildup of plaque, and then as a result of the plaque buildup, you get tartar and calculus building up on the teeth. These all harbor bacteria within them and should be removed on a regular basis.
And we'll talk a little more about what some of the obstacles are for people to get that care, but I want to make sure people know how they can join in too. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a question or a comment about dental health care, you have a problem that you're wondering what might be going on or if it's something to be concerned with, Dr. Lakritz will be happy to answer your questions. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Rachel Owens is our on-air producer today, and she will get your calls or emails into us. There was an interesting article, Dr. Lakritz, in the journal Sentinel recently about how important it is for pregnant women to get dental care because of the effects that it can have on the baby. And you talked a little bit about, you know, what the effects can be in our own systems. And I guess considering that the baby is part of that health system, it's not that surprising. But what kind of impact can it actually have on an unborn baby?
Well, there is one study that came out of the University of Minnesota that showed, in that particular study, a definite link between periodontal disease and preterm birth and underweight babies and some of the attendant problems that go along with not proper prenatal care. But apparently periodontal disease can't have a great influence on this. Other studies have been more or less not significant. They haven't shown a significant difference between the periodontal disease and birth problems. But this is ongoing, and there's a lot of work being done on it. Studies all over the country, some of these researchers are sampling women in various parts of the country to give a more broad picture of what is going on. And I think as time goes on, we'll see some very significant results come out of this research.
I think it's also important to note that it's kind of a cascade effect, because if periodontal disease in the mother can lead to early birth and low birth weights, those are signs of potential other problems down the road.
Exactly.
So it's not just, the baby's born early and born a little small. Those factors can then influence.
Exactly.
The baby
it can
too.
Affect the learning ability and so forth. So
right.
There is a significant problem.
So in the same article, they also talked about how difficult it can be for people that either have no dental coverage or are covered under a program like Badger Care Plus with access to services that they need. Often the waits can be several months. And of mm-hmm. course, especially if we're talking about a pregnant woman, a wait of 3 or 4 months is a big chunk of that pregnancy. You volunteer both in Wisconsin and Florida at free or low-cost dental clinics. Why are those so important, and what kind of patients are you seeing there?
Well, basically, in Wisconsin, it's gotten somewhat better over the last few years. There are more facilities available for people to access. For instance, in Madison, St. Vincent de Paul opened a clinic, and so that's working very well. Strictly volunteer, and they're doing a good job. The clinic I volunteer at Fort Atkinson is a community dental clinic. It's not free, but they charge a fee, but well below market mm-hmm. rates for dentistry. And one of the problems in accessing dentistry is lack of insurance, low-cost insurance, which pays very little. And unfortunately, you know, the cost of dentistry has gone up tremendously over the last 8 to 10 years. And so a lot of people just simply can't afford to go in this economy. Mm-hmm. And so they neglect their dental care and get into big trouble with it, with abscesses, toothaches. And
right, something that starts out as something relatively small.
Right, exactly.
It can get to be much
and
more serious.
It overwhelms hospital and emergency rooms, because people will have an abscess tooth and maybe a swollen jaw, go to the hospital emergency room. Well, in an emergency room, they can't do anything except perhaps give them some antibiotics and something for pain. And as soon as the antibiotics wear off and the pain pills wear off, the condition is back. So it needs definitive treatment. But people can access various things around the state. There are many of these clinics being operated, some being operated by Marquette University School of Dentistry. They have students who go to these clinics and treat people. Other dental associations within the various counties throughout the state have sponsored these types of clinics. That's how the one in Fort Atkinson got started. And there's one in the Fox River Valley that works very well, that does a good job. And over in Sauk City, there's a clinic. So they are available. And if people will call the State Dental Society in Milwaukee, the Wisconsin State Dental Association in Milwaukee, or go online.
Yes, and actually I wanted to mention, Dr. Lakritz, that our link from our Facebook page is to the Wisconsin Dental Association's list of free or low-cost dental clinics broken down by county, so people
right.
can find that. So if you go to our Facebook page, that's the Larry Mueller Show, you can find a link to that list, and you or someone that you know that might need that can access that. Talking to the director at the Fort Atkinson Clinic yesterday, she told me that that the average length of time that the patients that you and other dentists there are seeing, that those patients have not seen a dentist in 10 years.
That's true. And they have a waiting list that at one time was pushing 500 people.
Wow. So there are resources out there, but as is often the case, as access increases, need also rises to fill it.
Right. So. The access of your Facebook page is great, and people can contact the Wisconsin State Dental Association offices in Milwaukee directly and get the same information if they can't get online to get it.
Okay. And we have some people on the phone, so let's go to Michael in Green Bay who has a question. Hi, Michael.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's about Medicare, Medicaid. It seems like very few dentists will take Medicaid or Medicare patients claiming that Medicaid, Medicare doesn't pay them enough. How can we solve this problem?
Talk to your legislator. That's one of the problems. Let me just clarify. Medicare itself is a federal program which has very little in the way of dental coverage. The Medicare will cover certain dental surgeries, but does not cover routine dental care. Medicaid, however, is a state-based and funded operation. Which does pay for dental care, although the type of care is somewhat limited. They take care of emergencies, infections, fillings, and so forth. But unfortunately, the payment to the dentists who participate in this plan is well below market rates, and most dentists who participate in Medicaid or Badger Care here in Wisconsin are actually losing money on every patient they treat. So they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. And, you know, not everybody has a good heart. So many dentists don't participate.
Or perhaps if they're just starting out in practice, they might not have that margin of being able to have billable hours.
Actually, if you're starting out in practice and you don't have a full appointment book, you know, much easier to treat Medicaid and Badger Care patients that way, because actually you are making at least some money with those empty spaces in your appointment book. But if you're a well-established dentist with a full appointment book and people waiting to see you, the tendency is to lay off those programs because the reimbursement is so low. And unfortunately, there is no money statewide to increase that reimbursement. The Wisconsin State Dental Association has been advocating for years to increase the payment to dentists for these services, which would get more dentists to participate. It's actually less than 40% of what usual and customary fees are. If they could get that up to 50%, they'd probably get a lot more dentists to participate.
Well, and it seems like, too, so many of the costs involved are not just the dentist's time. It's paying other people there.
It's things like your office overhead.
It's materials, right.
So. Dental offices operate at a very high overhead. Mm-hmm. Many as high as 60 or 70%. Is their overhead. Mm-hmm. So their margin of profit is only 30%. And if you cut into that, that really hurts them a bit.
Well, thanks for that call, Michael. It's an important topic to bring up. And let's go to Pat in McHenry, Illinois. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
I am one of those people who seem to be genetically prone to periodontal disease. My mother had it. And I am now 65. I started with a periodontist probably about 15 years ago. Had to have some minor periodontal surgery done then. Have been alternating with periodontist and regular dentist every 4 months since that time. So having deep cleanings every 8 months. Well, about 3.5-4 months ago, had a super, super deep cleaning where it was an hour to do one side of my mouth and then go back 2 weeks later, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I went back this week for follow-up to that. Dentist or periodontist was very disappointed in the results. He thought for sure that would tighten up my gums again, but it didn't. And so they're thinking that maybe I'm clenching my teeth quite a bit at night. I'm not aware of that. So he's recommending I get a device to put over my teeth to be fitted for a device in hopes that that will do it. So my question is, if that doesn't do it, and I didn't think to ask the periodontist the other day, if that doesn't do it, then what? Oh, and he's also recommended that I have blood work done to check to see if there's anything out of whack or anything under anything else underlying.
Well, let's get Dr. Lackert's opinion on that.
Well, you know, basically, I'm assuming that your home care is good. You aren't lax in your home care at all. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And the deep cleanings should basically help control this problem. But if it's not, I'm a little incredulous about the clenching of your teeth being part of the cause and a mouth guard. But possibly the blood work might be indicative of something going on, and that might not be a bad idea. But, you know, it is a problem. If it is a genetically linked periodontal disease, it's just the most difficult thing to manage. And I have had people in my own practice in previous years where this had to be the problem because we could not control their periodontal disease. Mm. The fact that you've had it under well control for about 15 years is a pretty good thing. But I think you just have to follow through with the periodontist. These are the experts in the field, and
yeah.
He should be able to help you.
Well, I sure hope so in the future. So ultimately, if that doesn't work, then I lose my teeth.
Well, it might not get to that stage, but you may have to double your efforts.
Well, good luck with that, Pat. I hope you have success with that. Thanks for that call. And let's go to Al in Milwaukee next. Hi, Al.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just recently had a checkup, and I'm a pretty fastidious person. I brush after every meal, and I floss twice a day, actually.
And, good for you.
Well, it just feels cleaner, you know?
Absolutely.
The dentist, though, recent checkup said, and they've said this before, that it seems like the gums have a beginning of, you know, some gum disease or something. I have a history of that genetically in my family. But they suggested flossing. They suggested brushing after every meal. They suggested mouthwash that kills bacteria or something. I'm wondering, is there some mouthwash out there that's better than others in terms of care for the gums? And what else can I be doing? And does this mean, you know, that I'm going to be...
Well, first question I have for you, do you use a hand brush or an electric toothbrush?
Electric.
Okay, that's a big plus right there. As far as mouthwash is concerned, they have come out with some very, very good mouthwashes recently that are germ killers. I would recommend one that does not contain alcohol. Because alcohol dries the tissue somewhat, so find one that does not contain alcohol. There are several on the market. They do work very well, and just keep up your flossing, and I think maybe you can keep this under control.
Okay, so I shouldn't worry.
Not unless it gets worse and worse and worse, in which case your dentist is going to tell you that.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I had some minor... using Invisalign, some minor work on the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have anything to do with the gums?
How long ago?
About a year ago.
It wouldn't have much effect in that length of time.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for that call, Al. And you can join in, too, by calling 1-800-642-1234 or emailing us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. And our guest today is Dr. Lowell Lackritz, a dentist who can help you with any dental problems you might be having. Stay tuned. We're talking about dental health care with Dr. Lowell Lackritz, who teaches in the dental hygienist program at Madison Area Technical College. He also provides care through clinics that offer service for low-income and other high-needs patients. And I just want to remind people that there is a link from our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show on Facebook, to a whole list, county by county, of Wisconsin free and low-cost dental clinics. So if you or someone else needs that kind of care, that resource is there. And Dr. Lackritz, let's go back to the phone and talk to Kyle in Madison. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. I was on vacation in Thailand 15 years ago or so. And I broke a tooth. I went and got a full porcelain crown for less than $200. They finished it on a Sunday because my plane left first thing Monday morning at like 6 a.m. And I've been going back there ever since. It's the only place I've ever been to the dentist that didn't hurt. Last time I was there, they did a filling. It was a small filling, but they didn't even use Novocaine. He just took his time. He was patient when he ground down my tooth. He didn't rush me. He didn't ram his fist down my throat. He didn't, you know, basically see if he could make it as unpleasant as he possibly could. The dentists there are trained in America, and this was at the most expensive hospital in the north capital city of the country. And basically, the reason, one of the main reasons he didn't touch on it is that his liability insurance is so high, so outrageous, and so unreasonable in this country that that's one of the reasons his costs are so high. The other reason, I don't know, but the fact remains is that healthcare in this country is ridiculously overpriced. The quality is very low, contrary to most people's beliefs, because, you know, they see these advertisements from Dean Healthcare on TV all weekend telling them how great a deal they're getting. And the dental industry needs to lobby Congress, just like the insurance industry does, for insurance rate regulation and, you know, reasonable levels of profits on the insurance industry.
Okay, let's get Dr. Lackrett's opinion on that.
Believe it or not, the dental profession has been lobbying for things like that for the last 40 years. And unfortunately, dentistry is not, well, the need for dentistry is not life-threatening in most instances. In fact, you know, 99.9% of dental problems are not life-threatening. So generally speaking, dentistry is sort of a second cousin to healthcare when it comes to dealing with cost and quality and so forth. Most dentists in the United States are well-trained. Each person is an individual, and how they handle and deal with their patients is an individual thing. I am not really familiar with what the dentistry is provided in Thailand. I know a lot of people in the United States go to Mexico for their dentistry because the cost is less down there. Some even go to Canada, basically, you're having a good experience there was wonderful. And as you said, most of the dentists in the smaller Asian countries are U.S. trained or they're European trained, either in Germany or England or Switzerland or places like that where the dental education is high quality. And we try as dentists to keep the costs down, but, you know, labor costs are high. A dental office, as you may have heard me speak earlier, can be as high as a 70% overhead, which, you know, you have your hygienists, you have your dental assistants, you have the equipment cost today in dentistry is just huge. I opened up a dental office. My first dental office cost me $12,000 to open up a complete dental office. Now you're lucky to get away with $250,000.
I think those are great points. And Kyle, thanks for bringing those up. I want to go back to one thing that Kyle said about having had not great experiences, it sounds like, right, with dentists here. Just like anything, whether it's a doctor or, you know, your insurance agent or whatever.
Get your car fixed.
You know, you find someone. Right. You basically keep looking until you find someone you feel comfortable with.
Exactly.
So I would hope that if people have had, and especially, you know, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you haven't experienced. There are a lot of people who have high anxiety about going to the dentist and things like that, especially if they've had a bad experience.
Right.
That's all they need not to go back. But it really makes sense to keep looking.
Right. And I'd be the first to admit that the healthcare system in the United States is broken. There's no question about it. And it needs a lot. And there is so much politicking involved with this that nothing gets done. And it's an awful situation. And I certainly hope that the future bodes much better for the healthcare system in this country.
Great. Thanks again for that call, Kyle. That was an important point to bring up. Let's go to Dan in Three Lakes next. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Along the lines of the previous caller, I need an implant. The tooth has been removed by a dental surgeon, an oral surgeon, and I have been quoted prices from several places in Wisconsin. Everybody is at $3,300 or $3,400. In Iowa, it's the same number. I called an outfit that has offices in Denver, quoted me $5,600, even though they do the implant in one setting. Everybody else takes two. Then the other day I saw an ad in the New Yorker magazine to do the same thing in two sittings at a cost in downtown Manhattan, $1,650 complete. I am wondering how we can have this disparity of prices in this country, if you could comment. I'll listen off the air.
Great. Thanks for that call, Dan.
Implant dentistry has been around for close to 40 years now and is quite successful. But there are varying techniques that are being touted that are not proven to be 100% effective. A lot of places will basically cut the rates. But in my experience, you know, cheaper is not better, nor is expensive better. You simply have to do what you've been doing and research it. But unfortunately, you know, the cost of placing an implant now is probably around $1,200 to $1,500. And then you have to have a crown made for the top of the implant to make it like a tooth. That's another $1,200 or more. So there you are, talking anywhere from $25,000 to $3,000 for an implant. But you have to be able to justify that in your own mind, whether it's worth it to spend that kind of money. As I said earlier, you know, nobody dies from a missing tooth. Mm-hmm. But it can cause some damage over years without a tooth in place because the other teeth will shift and cause your bite to get all fouled up and so forth.
Which can affect your jaw and your
exactly,
all kinds of things.
Exactly. So basically, you know, I don't know what to say other than the fact that, you know, you have to pick and choose.
Well, and I think it's important to remember that not only are we a patient or a client, but we're also a consumer in this.
Right.
And like other things, you know, using that kind of due diligence. But especially if you're looking at different facilities in different states, perhaps, are there places where you can go to, say, check out the reputation of a particular dental practice?
Well, you know, there is. There's always things like Angie's List and services like that, which do rate dentistry based upon the comments of people who have visited those particular offices. So you could check that out. But I would just say keep looking, but don't equate the low cost with a decent job.
Right.
It may be. Maybe this person who's charging $1,600 for the full thing does a beautiful job of it. But how can you tell?
Mm-hmm.
If you could get contact with this person, get some references,
yep,
talk to people who have been there, that's another story.
Great. Thanks for that call, because I think that's not just for implants, but for a variety
everything
of things.
Everything else. It's a very critical issue.
We had an email from Dale in Madison. Could you describe the connection between sinus infections and toothaches?
Ah, well, basically, a toothache can cause a sinus infection, particularly in the upper jaw. The upper back teeth, the molar teeth, the roots of those teeth extend very close to the maxillary sinuses within the jaw. And if a tooth that is very close, or even the roots, can actually extend into the sinus, they're covered by tissue, of course, and aren't exposed within the sinus. But if that tooth develops an abscess, that abscess can break through and get into the sinus cavity, which would then cause a sinus problem.
And also, I think Dale might also be referring to the fact that when you have a sinus infection, you often feel
your teeth hurt.
And your ears, too.
Yes.
I think that's often, because once in a while, I'll feel that and I'll think,
right,
I have a toothache, and I'll think, wait, my ears hurt, too. Maybe this
And a sinus infection causes an inflammation of the lining of the sinus. And if the roots of those teeth are very close, they can also be affected, so the teeth can get sensitive.
Great. Thanks for that question, Dale. And let's go to Nick in Green Bay next. Hi, Nick.
Hi. As you guys talk, you're not really filling me with confidence here, but I got a tooth. I got a quarter of a tooth left, like in front of my molar, and I know it needs to be taken out. I got insurance. It's not a big deal. I just don't want to go do it because I'm kind of concerned about how painful it's going to be, and I was wondering if you could tell me how bad it's going to be.
Well, I can say it won't be bad at all. A competent oral surgeon can probably take that tooth out in less than 2 minutes, unless there's a real complicated problem with it. They'll give you some local anesthetic. You won't feel a thing. And if you're still concerned about it, a lot of oral surgeons will use sedation. They'll give you some kind of a drug as a sedative, and basically you won't even realize what's going on, and the tooth will be gone by the time you become aware again, and it'll be very simple. I would urge you to get that done, because if you've got only part of a tooth left, that could abscess and create quite an infection.
And that could be quite painful. Itself.
And that itself would be painful, right.
So what do you think, Nick? Are you going to make the appointment?
I'll have my wife do it. That way I don't have much of a choice.
There you go.
No, don't worry about it, Nick. It should be fine.
One quick question. How bad is it when they're going to remove it, but how bad is it to have like an implant put in there? Is that going to be another?
No, that's an actually fairly easy, simple process, too. It's just time-consuming.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
We'll be expecting to hear from you, Nick, that it all went well.
I hope so.
Thanks a lot for that call. And let's go right to Sarah in Waukegan, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Doctor, I'm calling about your patients that had questions about the periodontal disease and for solutions. You know, I came across a holistic approach of putting a diluted oil of oregano, one drop on your dental floss, you know, the little plastic holders that hold the dental floss.
Right.
And using that one today, and I've talked to people where it's gone away after they've been diagnosed with it. So it's just a little FYI. I know you can't endorse it, but I'm just putting it out there.
Right. There are some drugs and chemicals that are used also. The dentists will frequently use a little syringe and actually just squirt the drug or chemical within the gum tissue pocket, which will help to destroy the bacteria down in there and allow the pocket to heal. So there's a lot of different techniques available. There's a little device called a Stimudent, which is almost like a toothpick, except it's made out of a very soft wood. And using these between the teeth can be very effective in controlling periodontal disease. I used to recommend them a lot, and I had a lot of patients who literally would cure their dental their periodontal disease by using Stimudents.
Oh, okay, great.
In fact, Larry Mueller is a big advocate.
All right, so Dr. Lakritz can't advise it, but Larry can.
Yeah, right.
We'll do it in his absence. Well, thanks for that call, Sarah. And there was a question on the Facebook page from Kat. A question for you, Dr. Lakritz. Are all of the Wisconsin Dental Association clinics for uninsured or low-income patients for county residents only? And in talking with the director at the Fort Atkinson Clinic, it sounded like that one at least was just for Jefferson County residents.
Right.
So I'm guessing that the best thing would be to call the clinic that you're thinking of going to and just find out.
Absolutely.
What they're...
Yeah, some of them do restrict it to the area that they serve.
It probably depends on where their funding is coming from, I'm guessing. So thanks for that question, Kat. And again, to remind people, there is a link to the county-by-county list through the Wisconsin Dental Association on our Facebook page. Let's go to Lou Ray in Rosendale now. Hi, Lou Ray.
Hi there. I have a question about using the drug Fosamax or alendronate, which is for osteoporosis. And I've heard, and it actually makes some brief reference in the medication sheet that comes with the drug, that the drug affects the bone, jawbone, and it can actually alter the structure of the bone and cause teeth to move and become loose.
That's not quite right. The use of bisphosphonates, of which Fosamax and Actonel and some of these other drugs are, does have an effect on the blood circulation within the, particularly the lower jaw. It seems to, in conserving bone, it seems to restrict somewhat the blood circulation. So the problem exists if you have dental surgery of some kind, which affects the bone of the jaw, such as an extraction or periodontal surgery, which has to affect the bone structure, it could cause an infection to occur and be very, very serious. So people who are contemplate taking bisphosphonates should make sure that their dental health is excellent and they're not contemplating any surgical procedures on the lower jaw for a long period of time. Generally speaking, if that is required and you are on Fosamax or similar drug, you have to stop the drug for about 6 months before you can have the procedure done because it retains itself within the body for a long time. But that's the connection. It's not the drug doesn't cause infections. The infections are caused by surgical procedures when you're on the drug.
Well, I've been having a lot of pain when I chew on my lower jaw teeth. And I went off the Fosamax because of what I had heard. And I've been off it for about 6 months. And actually, within a couple months of going off the drug, the pain started going away.
Well, it may have a connection. As I said, the circulation within the bone is affected. And, of course, your teeth are embedded in that bone. There might possibly be some connection to it. It might also be just incidental.
Thanks for that call, Lou Ray. We have just a few minutes left, so let's go to Kevin in Tomahawk. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good morning. I heard of a method called PerioProtect method. It's for gum disease. It's a mouth tray that with a paste put on twice a day. I was just wondering if that's effective or if there's maybe a generic version that you could get from a drugstore rather than spend, I think it's like $800-$900 for that.
Yeah,
they're off the air.
Generally, those things are very proprietary, and they're not available like in generic forms. But some of those products are effective in doing that. What the principle involved there is that you fill this little tray with an antibacterial or a material which works as an anti-inflammatory, and you wear this, and of course it affects the gum tissue and helps to cure the problem.
Great. Thanks for that call. And in just a minute or so we have left, there was an email from Tony. I was recently told that my silver fillings are poisoning me with mercury and that I should have them removed. I was told that they're the cause of many diseases in the U.S. I've been doing some research on this and it looks to be justified. What are your feelings on amalgam silver fillings?
This has been a controversy for some 35 to 40 years, and I can say that there is no definitive research that has been done that shows that that is actual fact. The amount of mercury that is in a filling is tied up within the filling. It is released, but over a huge period of time, and it's literally parts per trillion that are affected, so that basically if you ate a tuna fish sandwich, you'd get more mercury.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, you'd get more mercury than you would from a silver filling probably in 5 years. So a lot of this information that comes over the internet, it's anecdotal. It's not backed by peer review or any proper research. So, I still, in my clinics that I volunteer at, I do silver fillings. And there is nothing wrong with them as far as I am concerned. And the American Dental Association feels the same way.
Well, thank you for that, because I do think that's something that gets brought up pretty often. And thank you for spending these 45 minutes with us. They just flew by, Dr. Lakritz.
No, it's great. I love it.
And we'll definitely have to have you back. Dr. Lowell Lakritz teaches in the dental hygienist program at Madison Area Technical College. And while he's officially retired, he still provides care through clinics that offer services for low-income and other high-needs patients, both in Wisconsin and Florida. And thanks again for coming in.
My pleasure, Judith. I look forward to being here again.
And stay tuned, because in just a minute, we will be switching over to talk with personal trainer Jeff Ligon. He's going to help us set fitness goals and then find a program or trainer to help us succeed. Stay tuned.